We'll call the meeting of the Commerce and Consumer Protection Committee to order. Representative Hoppe will move the minutes of the March 12, 2013 meeting be approved. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Same sign. Seeing none, that motion carries. First up, I saw Representative Lane. Thank you for your patience. It's deadline week, Representative Lane, so we're, you know, just trying to accumulate members, and I believe we've got enough now to act. The chair will move that House File 654 be recommended to pass and refer to the General Register. Representative Lane, my understanding is the A1 amendment is an author's amendment. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
The chair will offer the A1 amendment. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Is there any opposition? Seeing none, the motion carries. Representative Lane, to your bill.
Okay, I'll just do some brief comments a little bit off the subject, but I was given this bill because in 2010, I did a bill that was important to me around changing our statutes around less restrictive rules regarding embalming of our deceased loved ones to support families who wanted a more natural approach. And some of the people involved in this legislation represented the funeral directors who had first fought my legislation, and then we came to a point of neutrality, and my bill passed with nearly full support of the House. So now, since they know I'm comfortable talking about issues of death, they come to me with being able to pay ahead for your funeral expenses. And with that, this version of life insurance, I'll pass it over to Peter Thain.
Thank you, Representative Lane. Mr. Thrain, welcome back.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. Again, my name is Peter Thrain. I'm with Leonard Street and Dinard in Minneapolis. And today we're representing a group of life insurers that sell a specialty life insurance product called pre-need or final expense life insurance. With me today is Mr. Jerry Krause. Jerry is the Vice President of Homesteaders Life in Des Moines. Homesteaders Life is a large provider of this product, and he's here today to answer any questions if you have some additional questions. Mr. Chairman, I'll be somewhat brief here today. This bill we've worked through with the Commerce Department with Section 1 removed. The Commerce Department does not object to this bill. We're not aware of any opposition. We have the support of the funeral industry. So let me walk through this bill fairly briefly. Pre-need and final expense insurance is a specialty life insurance product. It's essentially sold by funeral directors, and it's sold as a method of pre-funding prepaid funeral expenses. It's sold through a life insurance contract, sold by licensed life insurers that are sold in a contract that's approved and regulated by the Department of Commerce. As a result, it's a financially secure alternative to some of the other forms of life insurance funding. Minnesota has an impediment to the effective sale of this product. The pre-need funeral insurance product is subject to our graded death benefit law. And what this amendment does is exempt pre-need and final expense insurance from the graded death benefit law. The effect of the graded death benefit law on this product is that it requires essentially that the policy premium be paid in a single premium upfront. And that works a hardship on folks that are ill or that have some sicknesses or that can't afford to pay a premium up front. Some of those folks that probably have the most need to pre-fund a funeral. And so this legislation exempts pre-need and final expense insurance from the limits of the graded death benefit law. I think it's probably stated best to you in the letter that the committee received from Mr. McGreevy at the Washburn McGreevy Funeral Chapels. You should have this letter in your materials, who supports this bill and is a proponent of this bill. And he says, and I'll just read his last paragraph, "As someone who has watched families fall through the cracks in our current legislative situation, I strongly urge the pass of House Bill 654. It will allow funeral consumers in poor health to go ahead and prearrange and pay for their funeral plans in a way that is comfortable for them and allows them to protect their families with a graded insurance product. With that, Mr. Chairman, we'd urge and appreciate your support, and we'd be happy to respond to any questions."
Thank you, Mr. Thrain. Sir, are you here to testify as well or just here to answer questions? Or?
Mr. Chairman, I don't have any further testimony. I'd be happy to answer questions.
Very good. And is there anyone else here that desires to testify today? All right, questions or concerns from members of the committee? Seeing none, then the chair will renew his motion that House File 654 as amended be recommended pass and referred to the General Register. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Seeing none, that motion prevails. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
Representative Simonson is up next. That's House File 1254. The chair will move that House File 1254 be laid over for possible inclusion in the liquor omnibus bill as soon as we've finished hearing it. So, Representative Simonson, to your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. This one should go relatively quick. My testifier was unable to come. He was sick today, so I will do my best. Wheeler Field, which is a facility in West Duluth, right in the heart of my district, is a complex that has several world-class softball fields. It is the host of many, many adult recreation softball tournaments throughout the year, as well as a number of daily kids and other types of events that they host there. But the purpose of this bill would allow the City of Duluth, with City Council approval, to issue a 3-2 beer license for sale and consumption at Wheeler Field. And the purpose really is to allow some of these adult recreation softball tournaments the ability to purchase and consume 3-2 beer during their events. It would generate money for the field maintenance and improvements at Wheeler Field. It would make the tournaments themselves more affordable. Currently, the individual running the individual tournament would have to, they do have to get a permit, insurance, and security. It costs them about $1,200 for a weekend. And our intent is that with the passage of this and approval of the City Council, we'll be able to lower those entry fees and encourage more tournaments to come to Duluth. We expect that it would increase tourism and expand other tournament opportunities such as touch football, which apparently is becoming more and more popular. So with that, Mr. Chair, I would stand for any questions.
Thank you, Representative Simonson. Are there questions for Representative Simonson? Is there anyone else that desires to be heard with respect to House File 1254? All right, then that House File 1254 is laid over for possible inclusion in the liquor omnibus bill.
Thank you.
Thank you. Now, next up is House File 1198. This is Representative Dean's bill. Representative Dean moves that House File 1198 be laid over for possible inclusion in the liquor omnibus bill upon conclusion of his testimony. Representative Dean, to your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. So there has been an agreement reached, and I believe I have an amendment that's already been incorporated into 746A3. So that would, I'd offer that as an authors to lead all amendment.
Okay. Members, do you have the amendment before you? There was a
going to 746.
There is an author's amendment. I'm just so many green folders, Representative.
I understand.
Dean. And we appreciate all the. All the work that you've put in. I believe Representative Dean, on the 1198, it has been reflected in an amendment on the 746 bill, which
correct.
Is the final liquor omnibus bill.
Yep.
And so we will lay off or hold off on that amendment until we get up to House File 746, but if you could explain what the compromise is that has been reached, that would be helpful as we...
Well, I'll just give a couple of brief introductions. This bill looks at issues related to craft brewers of that malt beverage that we kindly call beer. It's a result of a lot of hard work between the Minnesota Wholesalers Association, the Minnesota Beverage Association, and the newly created Minnesota Brewers Association. The craft beer industry has been growing over the past several years, and it's time for this bill that has been kindly known as the Growler Bill. I don't know if any of you have gotten any emails that say, save the growler. So that is what this bill is. The vote today is going to help the industry continue to grow. I have one of the craft brewers in my district. They moved from their garage a couple years ago. They now employ 7 people, and they're looking to expand, and we'll probably double that. And I also have Joe, if he'd like to, Mr. Bagnoli, come up and say just a few words.
I think we're good, Mr. Chair. We support the bill.
All right, then we're good.
Okay. Joe, We'll give him a couple words. I'll grab the mic if he goes too
long. An attempt to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory. Mr. Vignoli.
If anyone can do it.
All right, just switch,
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, we do MLBA and Municipal Beverage Association do support this bill. This is Representative Dean, or this amendment is Representative Dean said. I had one bit of, frankly, legislative intent I wanted to just speak to, just so that it was clear for the record and what the intent was. The previous language, or the language that has been deleted and this replaces, requires that if you have a small brewery, that you manufacture and package the product on the licensed premises. This changes it to manufacture and package by the brewery for a place where it's licensed. And what that refers to is, in the case of the brewery that's in Representative Dean's district, Fulton has a small brewery, but then in Wisconsin they have a larger brewery that they contract brew with. And at times, at the small brewery, they will have, I'm going to use their products, Sweet Child of Vine will be being brewed there, but they'll bring in kegs from another brewery. What our concern was, and they want to be able to sell, if somebody comes in to their tap room, they want to be able to sell Lonely Blonde, which might be produced in Wisconsin. They're trying to get it all under one roof, but for the time being, they're not. This requires them to, if they produce and package it, they have to sell it at one of their licensed breweries. It says licensed breweries. It doesn't have to be produced and packaged on premise, because it could be produced in Wisconsin in this case. But they have to sell it at a place where there is a brewery. So I just wanted to clarify that for future folks that might wonder what that meant.
Thank you, Mr. Bagnoli. Representative Hoppe has a question. Representative Hoppe.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Bagnoli, I just wondered, is there anybody that's opposed to the deal? Summit, Shells, anybody?
Mr. Chair, Representative Hoppe, there is not. This is a well understood within the producing between all the tiers in beer.
So what would Representative David say?
Peace in the valley.
Peace in the valley. And beer is flowing.
Representative Dean. On that high note, are there any other questions or anyone else that desires to be heard with respect to House File 1198? Seeing none, House File 1198 will be laid over for possible inclusion in the liquor omnibus bill.
Thank you, Mr.
Representative
Chair.
Dean, thank you. I think we'll skip over Representative Lilly and... No, I'm just kidding. House File 1216 is Representative Lilly's bill. Representative Lilly will move that House File 1216 be laid over for possible inclusion in the liquor omnibus bill once we've had a chance to hear it. Representative Lilly, to your bill, I'm guessing you're wearing that shirt for a reason. Although one never knows with you around this
Thank
place.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm just showing off. A couple of, Mr. Chair and members, House File 1216 is a small minor tweak that hopefully you'll add into this year's liquor bill. And a couple of years ago, Representative Phyllis Kahn added into law that the Twin Cities Marathon would be able to offer beer at the end of the event. And so I went around this year. They had a problem. Well, actually, they had a problem with that. They changed their name. So. Went around this year and got a couple of runners around the building, and Jerry Atkins and Phyllis Kahn and myself and Representative Anderson signed on to the bill, and Representative Pepin, some of the runners. I know I missed a few, sorry. But it's kind of a nice thing. I had an opportunity a couple years ago to start running thanks to Phyllis Kahn, and I started running marathons, although I don't win them, but I run them, but it's kind of a fun event. So I'm wearing my t-shirt here today. We have real runners here. I brought with me one of the board members, Scott Fogelson. He probably won't have much to say, but because we're a little afraid, we're both Lutherans, and I know it's a big day for you Catholics, Chair Atkins, and with the new Pope and all, but I brought with me the executive director, who's one of your constituents, and I believe she had your opponent's yard sign. No, she didn't.
Oh, I know.
Virginia Ackman, and maybe she'd have a few words to say. So
sir.
Thank you, Representative Lilly. Before, Ms. Ekman, can you clarify who's got the fastest marathon time in the Minnesota House? So I know you had a pretty good time, but there, it seems to me there was some other member that's got a faster time.
Well,
who was that again?
Mr. Chair, it was Representative Kahn, who's done 50 marathons, if you want to do the trivia pursuit game. But last year she was beaten by Larry Hosh, Representative Hosh, on his way out, and he broke three hours. So he's the real deal. But he ran in high school, so Phyllis never started running, I think, till she was 40 or something, and I didn't start running till about then, too. So
just 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Take.
Right.
Zachman, welcome to the committee.
Thank you. I'm Virginia Ackman. I'm the executive director of Twin Cities in Motion. 3 years ago, we changed our name from Twin Cities Marathon, Inc., and lo and behold, when we tried to serve beer last year, we found out that the name change prohibited us. So we're back this year. We'd like to respectfully request that you accept the name change and amend the bill that Phyllis passed in 1999 for us, because our runners are clamoring for beer at the finish when they do their 26.2 or their 10-mile run, and we'd like to continue to give them that.
But please, for the first time ever, it's starting to sound not bad.
I suspect for some of us there'd need to be a beer stop about once a mile in order to motivate people to run that far. But certainly if people run 26 miles, the least we can do is give them a beer if they want one. Are there other questions? Representative Switzitzky.
So thank you, Mr. Chair. Do you have to pay extra to join the marathon just to get to the end and not have to run? Do you have to pay extra for that?
Mr. Chair and Representative Switzitzky, I've actually tried to seek out a shuttle, but it's not available. But
okay,
these events are funny. When you run them, you're always afraid that there's medic tents and those sort of things. I'm always afraid to look at them to see what the possibilities are. That, you know, you can see humanity breaking down at different points. it's quite interesting.
But we do take care of you if you do.
Right.
And thank you, Ms. Ackman. And I don't think the Rosie Ruiz approach works in the Twin Cities Marathon. They put these chips in your shoes now and stuff like that. But are there other questions for Ms. Ackman or for Mr. Fogelson or for Representative Lilly? If not, then Representative Lilly renews his motion to lay over House File 1216 for possible inclusion in the liquor omnibus bill.
Thank you.
Which then, thank you all very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members.
Which brings us to the liquor omnibus bill.
There you go.
Yeah, that's at least there, you know.
Okay, good afternoon, Representative Atkins.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Would you like to move your bill?
I'd move House File 746 be recommended to pass and referred to the General Register.
And then Representative, you do have some amendments in front of me. I see here the DE4.
Yes, Madam Chair, that is an author's amendment to include a number of the bills that came through the committee prior to that were laid over for possible inclusion. And I would move the DE4 amendment.
All right. So we'll vote on that one. All the members in favor of the DE4 amendment, do so by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. And the amendment is adopted.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And if I might approach, and I left my my summary sheet.
You may approach the bench.
Yeah.
Tell them all that I'm in.
There you go.
Thank you.
That's it. You know, if you do that to some judges, you get kind of scolded. So, Madam Chair, and if we might, what I would request that we do is I will walk through what's in the DE4, and then obviously we heard a handful of additional bills today that I think members like Representative Lilly and Representative Dean would like to move. But what is what's currently in the bill, and if I miss anything, Mr. McCormick is always here to catch any errors that I make.
Mm-hmm.
But you'll recall we didn't have a ton of liquor-related bills this year, but the ones that are included were Representative Hillstrom's House File 266. That is the Brewer tap room right at the beginning, including a city with the municipal munis were covered. And Representative Davids, I know that you might have been in Turkey at the time that that one was heard, but it's a very technical change just to make sure that we apply to municipal bars. House File 940 is Representative Franson's sampling bill. House File 182 is Representative Dabney's wine educator license, which would, well, it falls into wine, but then it we added malt liquor. I believe that he proposed it as beer. Mr. McCormick was kind enough to point out that in our statutes we reference malt liquor. And then that goes throughout page 3 and had many of the same sort of requirements to ensure that it's done appropriately that we did with respect to wine. The House File 182 then is Representative Beard's. If you move to page 5, that's section 5 for Valley Fair. You'll recall that testimony was, and that's not, they're not looking to serve kids on the roller coaster or anything. They've already got liquor licenses, just expands that slightly. Section 6 is the Lower Town Regional Ballpark for the St. Paul Saints. Section 6 is, well, that is the Lower Town piece, and then Section 7 is the effective date and local approval for the Duluth City Council relative to the, I'm sorry, Mr. McCormick, remind me which the Duluth City Council piece on lines 5.28 and 29.
Madam Chair, members, that effective date actually applies to the A2 amendment, which we have not adopted. The effective date got in. The amendment has not yet gotten in.
Madam Chair, Mr. McCormick, you're always a step ahead of us. That's I'll tell you. That is a walk through what's currently in the bill, and then unless there's objections, Madam Chair, I'd entertain or ask for motions to add in the bills that we heard today with Representative Lilly and Simonson and Dean.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
So moved.
All right. Well, that's been already moved, so we will vote on that.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We may want to identify the...
I have Representative Lilly's, the A1 amendment, so I'm moving the A1 amendment, which is...
Wait, is he still here? Oh,
he
is. We should vote that one.
Okay. I want my cane. All those in favor of the A1 amendment, please do so by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. All right, that is the A1 amendment. Then we have the A2 amendment. The chair moves the A2 amendment. All those in any discussion, all those in favor of moving the A2 amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. And the A3 amendment. Representative Dean moves the A3 amendment. Any discussion for that amendment? I see none. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. And the amendments have been adopted. So, Representative Atkins, back to your bill, the House File 746 as amended to be recommended, Madam Chair, to pass and be referred to the General Register. Representative Poppe.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Representative Atkins, one quick question. Being that every year we get an additional request for an odd off-ball license, is your plan to pass this thing immediately or let it hang around for a while? Maybe some of the folks in the audience would want to know how quickly they can get a beer or whatever.
Representative Atkins.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative Hoppe. And I appreciate that question because, as Representative Hoppe pointed out, we usually now, we put the bill on the General Register. It tends to then get some attention from those folks that might have other things that are in process of happening. There's some folks outside the Capitol, of course, that don't realize that we have deadline week. And I don't blame them. I didn't know what a deadline week was till I got elected and came up here 10 years ago. So we usually let it rest on the general calendar or the general register for a while before taking it up. And if members are aware of things that need to get done this year, we would entertain the possibility of doing that. We've also reserved a little bit of committee time here in the Commerce Committee after deadlines in the event that we have items that come up that were unanticipated or that folks just didn't realize we were moving through the process with. So it won't, unless there's some urgency to any of these, and I don't believe that there is, we will let the bill hang out there for a little while before finally bringing it up before we conclude the session.
Okay. Any other questions, members? Seeing none, Representative Atkins, again.
I would renew my motion that House File 746 as amended be recommended pass and referred to the General Register.
And all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay? The bill
Thank
is
you,
on its
Madam
way.
Madam Chair and members.
One more bill. Thank you.
Stuff like that.
Are these all room for
people? Go to Anzel.
Well, not the first
one.
It says that right
I don't know. I don't think it's in any way controversial.
I'm Pennsylvania.
Okay. What's your mother's maiden name?
Grassler. Grassler? Grassler.
Okay.
The word there.
Shall we?
Okay.
Okay. All right.
Are you from South State Ball?
It took me a little time.
Okay.
Not too bad. If you keep doing that, it's going to do it.
No. Oh, yeah. I've spent some time there.
Yeah. I gave her a little stuffed animal on the side.
Okay. Representative Atkins, thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
And if you would, we would have you move Representative Falk's bill.
And Madam Chair, I'm second author on House File 634. I'll move House File 634 be recommended pass and referred to the General Register, I believe. I'm not aware of it having to go anywhere else, Madam Chair.
And I see no amendments.
Actually, Madam Chair, I think there is one clarifying author's amendment that is being passed out. And maybe I'll move the amendment, but I think we should wait until members have it in hand. Right. So I'll move that amendment and then have Mr. Brickwady from the Department of Commerce briefly walk through what's in the amendment.
Very good. Madam Chair, Peter Brickwady, Director of Government Affairs for the Department of Commerce. This is the department's weights and measures bill. Okay. The amendment that is coming around to members makes some technical corrections that address some issues that were brought to us by the Petroleum Marketers Association and from the folks at Flint Hills. We have quite amicably resolved those issues, and I'm happy to have done so. Those folks, I think, are in the room if you'd like to hear from them, but members, those corrections are made. The bill on the whole does several things related to weights and measures, enforcement capabilities. It makes technical updates to the state statute where there are references to ASTM standards, which are technical standards for primarily fuels-related products. There are changes in identical pricing language, which is part of what the amendment addresses. And lastly, the bill sets a minimum octane rating for gasoline retail sales in Minnesota. And I'd be happy to answer questions from members.
Are there any questions, members, to this amendment?
We're doing it.
We have to. And Representative Falk, welcome to
Thank
the
you, Madam
committee.
Chair.
Your bill has been moved, and I believe we're discussing the A1 amendment.
We are on the amendment, and I want to just say, too, that I appreciate the work that the department has done in association with the interested parties, namely the petroleum marketers. I think that they've done an excellent job of really trying to iron out some of the concerns that both sides had, and I think this is actually a really good work product, and I really don't think that there's any concern or controversy with this amendment, so I would urge members' adoption of it.
With that, seeing no hands, no questions, then we'll go ahead and adopt the A1 amendment. All in favor of adoption of the A1, do so by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. The amendment has been adopted. Now, Representative Falk, two.
Well, thank you,
Madam
Chair.
We do have testifiers.
And at the risk of screwing up a good thing, I'm going to continue to let Mr. Brickwitty offer his comments, or if somebody from the petroleum marketers wishes to come down and offer theirs, I'd entertain that as well. But they seem like they're doing a phenomenal job without me screwing it up. So.
Aye.
Well, we do have some testifiers listed here, and Mr. Brickwitty, too. You,
Madam Chair, I'd be happy to stand for questions, but right. I would echo our chief author's comments.
And I would like to ask Kevin Toma to come down. He's on the list. Well, I think you would. Mm-hmm. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Madam Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Kevin Toma, and I work for the members of the Minnesota Petroleum Marketers Association. I'm here in support of House File 634. We've worked with the Department of Weights and Measures to get this bill into shape, that it will help address our concerns and the department's concerns.
Well, thank you for that. And members, any questions for this testifier? Nope. Representative Anzell.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So, therefore, we can be assured that when we go back to rural Minnesota, we're not going to get any pushback from our operators of convenience and gas stations.
Mr. Toma?
Madam Chair, I don't think you'll get any pushback.
Okay.
Thank you.
We'll see.
But occasionally there are a few folks that may not be members of our association.
Well, that's your problem. But pushback there will be.
Any other questions from the members or anyone else wish to testify? Representative Falk.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Final comment, too. I just want to say that I think this is a good bill. I do personally have some concerns. We are conforming to federal law, but, I mean, with the labeling of things as low as E50 being E85, but realizing that there's multiple mm-hmm. issues that have to be addressed here. So I understand the challenges we face, and I do want to say, too, that I appreciate the deletion of one of the sections of the bill that we worked out of the basically defining in statute what the BTU rating was. I don't think we should be defining unscientific things, perhaps, in the statute. So I just appreciate the work that's been done here, and would renew my motion that this bill, as amended, be recommended to pass and sent to General Register.
All those in favor of House File 634 to be passed and referred to the General Register, do so by saying aye. As amended, aye. And opposed, nay. The ayes have it. The bill is on its way, Representative.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. I got it. And we are adjourned. Yes.